Next week, I don't know if we'll be doing a live stream or if it'll be recorded or not, because to be honest, I'm not sure how Facebook Live is looking right now. So you know what you can do? Why don't you like our feed? So that way, at least I know you're listening. Matter of fact, if you want, invite someone to church. Share the feed right now. It'll allow people to know that they're about to get a message that's going to teach them about the Bible and how much God loves them. And you know what? How about in one of the emails that I send next week, why don't you give me a comment to let me know that the video was good or the video seemed slow? Give us some help, because like I said, this is new for all of us here, and we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to bless you and to keep your relationship with God and with each other nice and strong. So I guess that's it for my announcements. So what I'm going to do, I'll just open us up with a word of prayer, and we'll just jump right into the sermon. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for today. I thank you, God, that you love us. I thank you, God, that you have a plan and a purpose for us, and it's good. I thank you, God, that we're going to open up your word, and we're going to learn more about you and how much you love us. And it will give us better ways of serving you. But Lord, I pray, Lord, it is an encouragement for those who may be feeling down this morning. So God, whether people are sitting in their car, whether they're in their bedroom, whether they're in their living room, I pray, God, that you would meet them where they're at and they would feel your presence now. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, this morning I'm going to continue our sermon series that we've been doing on being fruitful and multiplying. We've been learning about the fruit of the Spirit. And actually, I was listening to a sermon recently, and it used the word consequence instead of fruit when it was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And to be honest, I don't think I liked it that much. I mean, because trust me, growing up in the Mallet household, when you heard the word consequence, it wasn't something that you look forward to. As a matter of fact, it was kind of a nice way of saying you're in trouble and you're about to get punished. But for some reason, I just couldn't shake it. So I went to the dictionary and I looked up, well, what does consequence mean? And the actual definition was the result or the effect of an action. Basically, it's what you get when you do something. I mean, everything we do has a consequence, everything. Something happens. And it's not necessarily always negative. It is the reaction to your action. Well, think of it this way. You run over a nail while you're driving. You pop your tire. You take medicine. You start to feel better. I mean, you begin to exercise. You get in better shape. Now, if you think about it, all that makes sense because, to be honest, if you were to run over a nail, you would expect your tire to pop, right? Well, if you take medicine, you would expect to feel better. That's why you took the medicine. Now, if you begin to exercise, you would expect to get in better shape. They're all, I guess you would call them normal consequences for the actions that you're taking. Think about it this way. Have you ever noticed that sometimes, I would almost call them unintended consequences, happen to your actions? So let's take our first example. You ran over a nail. It popped your tire. So you got out, changed your flat, got back in, and then you sped to work because you knew you were going to be late, and you got pulled over and got a parking ticket. Unintended consequence. Or maybe you took medicine, and you did. You started to feel better, but you became addicted or dependent on that medicine. Again, an unintended consequence. Or how about this? You begin to exercise. You do get in better shape, and someone notices you. Boom, now you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Again, another unintended consequence. Now, some of these things you can plan for in advance, right? Matter of fact, they're just kind of all part of the journey of life that we walk. But there is something that you can do to make sure that you get to exactly where God wants you to go. I didn't say it would be an easier journey. I didn't even say that it would be a less bumpy journey. But you'll at least have the knowledge to know that you don't walk alone. I'm going to read a scripture for you in Psalms chapter 37. Now, I do believe the verses will be behind me. Psalms 37 verses 23 and 24 say, "If the Lord is pleased with the way a man lives, he makes his steps secure. Even if the man trips, he won't fall. The Lord's hand takes good care of him." Now, why am I talking about this? Well, if you want to live a life of love, joy, remember the fruit we've been talking about, peace and patience, you will begin to see different consequences in your life. Some of them will be the direct results of your actions. Matter of fact, you will begin to see fruit in your life that you intentionally tried to grow, and it's going to encourage you. You're going to be like, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to see. Now, other times, you will begin to see fruit in your life that where pruning is necessary. We don't look forward to those times, but those can be actions that we did and the consequences or results that happened by them. But I'm also learning that there are sometimes some unintended consequences that happen. They could be both good and they could be both bad. But you will have to deal with them. Now, God does not expect you to be perfect. He's not looking for perfection. Matter of fact, all good fathers really are looking for two things. They're looking for growth and they're looking for effort. And what I like about the scripture we just read, it says that if you do those things, God's pleased with you. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he keeps your steps safe and secure. Matter of fact, he says he won't let you fall. He actually keeps you in his hands. Now, our key verse that we've been using throughout this sermon series has been Galatians chapter 5. So let me read you Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now today we're going to talk about the next fruit of the Spirit. Last week was patience, so this week is kindness. Now, I know this may surprise you, but I don't believe many of us are really naturally motivated to do acts of kindness. I don't. Matter of fact, I believe that we've grown up in a world that teaches us to look out for number one. And who's number one in our eyes? Yeah, ourselves. I mean, matter of fact, we see people who will quickly ignore other people's needs and they'll only focus on their own. Matter of fact, have you been shopping lately? Have you noticed a few shortages in some of the grocery stores? It's because people are trying to take care of themselves. They're not looking out for other people. Now, some people, when they think of kindness, they think of weakness. Well, if I do that, then, you know, people will take advantage of me. Others may think of, you know, acts of kindness as unimportant or they're quickly forgotten. But our world is full of people that, honestly, they're going to try to cut you in line. They're going to insult you. They don't open doors for other people. They often will laugh at other people's mistakes. And honestly, they will make themselves feel better by dragging you down. But have you also noticed, though, that there are some people that are willing to let you go ahead of them in line? There are some people who like to compliment people who are around them. They hurry to open doors for other people. They sympathize when other people go through times of trouble. And honestly, they have a humbleness and a willingness to serve other people. Let's be honest, it's easy to pick out people who are showing acts of kindness. But see, to be able to do that, it's staying connected to the true vine. That's what we've been talking about. And we know who the true vine is. The true vine is Jesus. See, he's able to grow in us the fruit of kindness. Now, I actually looked at the word kindness that we find in, you know, Galatians 5. The Greek word for kindness means useful and good, mild and pleasant. Matter of fact, when it's used in the New Testament, it isn't just being nice once in a while. It means that you do things regardless of whether you're noticed or rewarded. Matter of fact, I love the fact that kindness has nothing to do with yourself at all. Matter of fact, kindness in of itself is selfless. It means doing good and useful things just because it's who you are and you do not actually expect anything in return. Matter of fact, let me read a verse for you in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, says, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they've received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." It's just doing things for people because you want to be kind. I guess you could say it literally like drips from you. It's just an overflow of what's growing on the inside of you. See, when you're connected to the true vine, which is Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And it's literally, I would almost say it's pumping through your veins. It's like getting an IV where you're literally getting complete injections where it becomes more and more of Him and less of you. You're so full of Him that you want others to have the exact same thing that you have, a relationship with Jesus. But see, the only way that we can truly feel kindness to other people, it's through the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that it happens. As we submit to the Holy Spirit and we allow God to lead our lives and we allow Him to prune off our old self, the way that we used to behave, the more that we will actually genuinely walk in kindness, which means doing useful, good, pleasant things for people that God places in our life. If you look around, they're all over the place. But here, I want to dig into more of what God says about kindness. I'm going to read a verse for you in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." See, it's based on the mindset where we're humbly giving ourselves, really in love and mercy towards other people who, honestly, they may not be able to give anything back in return. Sometimes you're going to be giving acts of kindness to people that, in your opinion, they don't deserve it. And let's be honest, often our acts of kindness, we don't get thank yous for that. And you know what? That sometimes makes it hard. But kindness basically means it's you leading people toward thoughtful deeds for other people. It's a new way of thinking. I guess you could say that kindness is, I guess you could call it almost being nice. I mean, look, I'm not talking about the nice that avoids conflict at any cost. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about, you know, the nice that's kind of all sweet and light on the outside, but inside, you know, you're all cold and bitter. I'm not talking about that. I'm not even talking about like the forced nice, you know, the you say sorry to him right now. I'm not talking about that kind of nice. I'm talking about the nice where you have genuine compassion and respect for people, where it moves you to act and speak in ways that really build them up, that care for them. Now, let me give you one example of actual kindness in action in the Bible. We find that in Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. And it says, "They were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. See, kindness is more of the attitude and not even necessarily the act. See, when Jesus here, he shows us that kindness doesn't have to be this like huge, elaborate, expensive gift. What I love here is Jesus kind of breaks the mindset of the disciples. The disciples literally said to him, "Jesus, what are you doing? You have more important things to do." And you know what? It's true. Jesus did. The important things that Jesus had to do was to show kindness. He had to show love. And he basically said, "No, let the kids come to me." Grabbed them, hugged them, held them close, and blessed them. I mean, to be honest, how many times or situations have you had over the past few weeks where you had those moments, but in your mind, "No, I got more important things to do. I got to get this done. I got to go here. I got to get this groceries done. We got to go here. We got to stay here. We can't do that." And you know what? You miss time and time opportunities where you can just love someone and show them kindness. But you know, the interesting thing is, one of the biggest lessons I've learned about kindness is that the kindness that we receive for God isn't just for others. It isn't. Matter of fact, as hard as it is for us to be like, remember, kindness is useful, good, mild, and pleasant. As hard as it is for us to do those things for other people, I found there's someone that's even harder for me to show kindness to. That person's myself. There, let me help you understand what I mean. Matter of fact, think about the last four sermons that we've done on the fruits of the Spirit. Each one of them, what were we asked to do? We basically said, do a fruit check, right? So with love, joy, peace, and patience, we basically said, all right, look in the mirror and see what you're doing. Look at your words, look at your actions, look at your attitudes, and see if you're actually doing what you believe you should be doing in regards to those fruits. And the truth is, we often didn't like what we see, let's be honest. Because look, I've learned, as judgmental as I am about other people, I'm even more judgmental about myself. I mean, we see the times when, you know, we should have been loving to someone, and instead, we may have not even seen the opportunity. It just passed us by, and later we were like, "Whoa, I missed it." Even worse, sometimes we see the opportunities, and we just don't feel like doing it. And when we look in the mirror, we see those things. I mean, we remember the times where the joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength, right? Remember, we heard that message. But the reality is, there's some days, especially now, we don't want to get out of bed. I mean, forget, you know, try to walk in joy, walk in rejoicing. What were the definitions we looked at? Cheerfulness, calm delight. See, we see that in ourselves, and honestly, we start to feel depressed. It's like, I'm not living my life that way. There are also times that we're just, the peace that we expect to be there isn't. I mean, remember when I preached on that and I talked about the example of trying to go to sleep sometimes? You know, we can never get our mind to rest. We didn't have peace. And I mean, look, let's be honest. Over the past few weeks, have you lost a few hours of sleep as your mind was racing about the different things? I mean, just this week alone, I know that I have lost a few hours. I didn't have quietness and rest inside my mind. But see, we see these things and we begin to beat ourselves up over them. I mean, do I even need to talk about patience? Over the past few weeks, how patient have we been in our lives? Thankfully, I haven't even covered gentleness and self-control yet. But look, can I give you a little bit of truth here? If you capture this, I think it's going to give you some freedom in your life. Kindness is not something that we're just supposed to show others. Kindness is something you were supposed to also to give ourselves. that, look, I've always been judgmental. I have. Not only of other people, but really with myself. I honestly never ask people, and I've almost held this as a badge of honor. I've never asked people to do things that I myself am not willing to do. Doesn't that sound kind of spiritual? You know, well, look, I'm asking you to do something, but I would be willing to do it. But look, the reality is, if you're asking yourself to do things that you shouldn't, then don't ask other people to do the same exact things. It just doesn't make sense. It's too hard. We can be so tough on ourselves sometimes. But see, the problem is unfortunately, I find myself constantly pushing myself in every area of my life. You know, I could still see all the different areas and ways that I wasn't measuring up. And there really was no room for kindness in my life because I almost thought that, you know, how would kindness make me better in the areas that I'm, you know, lacking in? I almost saw kindness as, you know, well, if I do that, that'll make me more lazy or that'll make me more undisciplined. It'll make me more careless. And I'm telling you, those kind of thoughts will leave you empty. They'll leave you tired. But thankfully, I began to experience the kindness of God. Look, I always knew God was kind, right? I mean, we all believe that God's kind. I mean, I look at just the different people in my life that God's placed there, my wife, my kids, my parents, friends, family, lots of people who are willing to shower kindness on me that honestly, I don't often deserve, but it means a lot. But my problem was is that I really believe that God was often disappointed in me because I just never seemed to measure up with what I thought the Bible was asking me to do. Matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. I remember a few years back being in the sanctuary all by myself, and I was kind of running through in my mind all the different decisions that I had recently made. And I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. I saw me missing the mark in a lot of them. And I remember finally looking up and asking God, are you sure you really want me to be the pastor here? Are you sure? I mean, because I began to look at, you know, some of my decisions and I was looking at my own gifts and talents. And honestly, they just didn't seem to be what Faith Christian Assembly needed from their pastor. I began to think, you know, I probably should have gone to the board that few years ago and said, you know what? You got the wrong guy. You want to look somewhere else. I'm just not the man for the job. That was hard. As a matter of fact, I remember, and look, but by then I'm actually crying. So I'm in the sanctuary by myself and I'm crying. And I remember I just looked up at God and I don't know if it was like me out loud or if it was just in my brain. But I literally asked God, are you proud of me? And see, I just wanted a kind word. I did. I wanted I wanted a hug from my dad. And, you know, the kindness version. You know, ones that are useful and good and mild and pleasant. I guess I felt like the kids that were kind of being kept away from Jesus, who just wanted to get close, just wanted to kind of sit on his lap, just wanted him to touch them and to bless them. And it was actually a good time for me because you know what? God met me there. And what I experienced was just kind of a glimpse of his delight in me and an assurance that he loves me. And I guess the best way to put it is that I experienced the deep kindness of God. And see, his deep, almost unexpected kindness, it kind of began to do some changes in my life. Like, for example, you know, skipping a day of not practicing my sermon, I really saw that as a gift to my tired mind. And I didn't see it as, you know, an act of being lazy. missing someone's birthday. You know, it became an invitation of grace instead of, you know, excessive guilt that I'm somehow a bad friend. How could you miss that? I mean, something as simple as just wanting to take my son or daughter out for sushi. It became an opportunity for me to love on my kids and myself. I didn't see it as a, you know, a lack of self-discipline for my weight or my finances. I saw it as an act of kindness. See, somewhere along the way, I lost sight of my own humanity. I was kind of viewing myself as a, you know, someone that could be perfectly controlled, you know, more of a kind of a machine than a person. But through God's kindness, I began to see myself as someone who was valuable, someone who was worthy of compassion and kindness. That change actually had, I guess you'd call it, a surprising result. Well, an unintended consequence. It did. Matter of fact, it actually made being kind to other people something that I did not have to do perfectly. I didn't. It was something that I could trust God to do and help me to be. It was His work in me. It wasn't my work, but it increased my capacity to care for people and to show the kindness of God to them. I kind of saw kindness as a fruit to be grown, developed. And yes, sometimes I had to get pruned for, but it was rather than something that I just got a pass-fail grade on. If you haven't noticed, you know, when you're kind to people just because you're, you know, because you want to, and you're free from having to worry, you know, about it, or, you know, am I doing it right? The more that that happens in your life, the more natural kindness becomes, because you don't feel the weight anymore. You do it just because that's the way that you want to be treated. You show God's kindness to them. See, because you like it when people are nice to you. It makes you feel good to be nice to other people as well. No judging, no agenda, you know, just useful, pleasant, mild, good actions. And honestly, that's nice. So, how can we become more kind? Look, the truth is, look, we know we serve an incredibly kind God. But we also know that sometimes we can be incredibly mean, even to the people that we say that we love the most. How does that happen? How do we lose the ability to see people where they're at and not be able to show kindness to them? Well, I think that there actually are many reasons why that we do that. But I want to highlight three important ones. Number one, being tired. Being tired. See, when we allow ourselves to become physically, mentally, and emotionally tired, we're less likely to put in the extra energy necessary to show someone kindness. And it does take extra energy in order to do that. So we have to be willing, especially now, give yourself times of rest. Give your mind a mental break. If you don't recharge, what you're going to find is your actions are becoming very unkind, unpleasant, harsh, even to the point where they're hurtful. And these are to some of the people that you love. The second area or reason why that is because we're too busy. We're too busy. Matter of fact, if you find yourself running from one thing to the next thing, what you're going to do is you're not going to leave yourself any opportunity to actually see opportunities to be kind. Forget of the time to actually do them. If that's what's happening in your life, you're too busy. And the only way that you can fix that is you have to start saying no to some things. And that's okay. It's okay to say no to some things, because what it will allow you to do, it will give you the ability to recognize opportunities for kindness when they come. And not only recognize them, but then have the time available to you to step out and show someone kindness. Finally, the last reason is pride. You see, when I think I know best, then I'm not listening to other people and I'm not listening to God. It can cause my heart to grow cold. Also, sometimes what I find myself doing is thinking people don't deserve my kindness. Or even worse, sometimes I spend myself alone saying, well, look, no one's come to me for kindness. No one's seeing my needs. Why aren't I getting taken care of? You see, pride at its root is selfish. And the only way to get rid of selfishness and pride is to allow the Holy Spirit to come inside of you and make you a new creation. That's it. It's the only way. And that means recognizing the changes that need to happen in your life and allowing the gardener, yes, our Heavenly Father, our God, to remove them from our life. It will allow us to experience God's kindness in ways that will give us a deeper understanding to just how great His love is for us, and that will open our eyes to see those around us who need that same love. Now, once we do that, we will learn to live a life of kindness. Look, the truth is, you may learn you're not the nicest person in the world, yet. You know, I mean, and look, that's okay. I firmly believe that no act of kindness is ever wasted. It isn't. Those acts change me, and they communicate God's love to people who need to know that they're valuable and that God loves them. Because every time I go to God kind of expecting, you know, Him to roll His eyes at me, or, you know, I expect disappointment, I expect anger, I expect judgment or impatience. The truth is, every time I go to God, what I actually get is kindness. Because God is kind. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Boy, isn't that true? I mean, God's kindness toward me makes me not want to sin. Because you know why? I don't want to hurt Him. I don't want to hurt His feelings. And instead, what I decide is, I just want to follow after Him. Because He loves me that much. It's interesting. It reminded me of a verse in Matthew where they use the same Greek word for kind. I want to read it for you. It's really small. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. It says, serving me is easy and my load is light. Yeah, the word easy there, it's the same word for kind. They're the exact same word. And kind is the root of kindness. So think about this. God wants to give you pleasant, good, useful, and mild assignments. That's the God you serve. He loves you that much. God is kind. Look, as I end this sermon today, what I'm really asking you to do is open your eyes. If you will see so many opportunities right now all around you to shine kindness to people. Now, look, I'm not going to lie. It will require your time. Because you know what? You're going to have to slow down enough to actually see the opportunities. And you're going to have enough time to be willing to actually meet those opportunities. And that will require energy to do it. So you know what? If you're tired, if you're not giving yourself times of rest, you may not have the energy necessary to show kindness to people. And that will require you to be selfless to do it. Because you know what? That person in front of you at the grocery store, which has bought 15 things of toilet paper that you wanted and you don't have any, are you going to be able to show them kindness? Are you going to be able to be selfless to them? Even though in your mind, they don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. Matter of fact, I want to go over to them and give them a piece of my mind. But is that kind? Is that pleasant? Is that mild? But see, if you're willing to step out with kindness, what it's going to do is it's going to build a bridge. It's going to allow people to give you an opportunity to speak words of life into them. Because you know what? It's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. And you know what? The only Jesus they may see is in you. So will you be that kindness to that person, which will lead them to a place where they will agree, I need to change, and I want what you've got. That's what we're called to do. Shine. Shine bright. Allow people to see Jesus in you. But then don't stop there. Point them to him. Take it to the next level. Don't let them pat you on the back. Oh, you're a really nice guy. Actually, I serve a really good God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we need your help today. Because honestly, we don't live in a very kind world. We don't always treat people with kindness. And to be honest, we don't even often treat ourselves with kindness. So God, we pray that your fruit of kindness would grow inside of us, that you would allow us to take time to rest, that we would take time to unbusy our lives, that we would begin to say no to ourselves and begin to show kindness to the people around us. There are so many opportunities right now for us to love people where they're at. And kindness is one of the best vehicles to do it. So God, help us to see the opportunities. Help us to be willing to take the opportunities. And then we're going to leave the fruit, the growth in your hands. We're just going to be obedient to do what you've asked us to do. So God, bless every single person as they're watching this. Give them the strength to keep doing what you've asked them to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Be on the lookout for some emails and different things in regards to small groups through Zoom. As I said, join our email list. All you got to do is go to our website, send me an email, and I'll add you to our list. But really, look around, connect with the different people around you. See how God is asking you to step out and to touch different people. They need God in their life. You may be the one person who has the best chance of doing that. Someone did that for you. Do that for someone else. God bless you, and I will see you next week.